Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll look at the first 19 verses today. This is God's Word. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink'? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is a series of little short pieces, all of which go together, but there's not just one theme. It's not like a parable where you get to the end and then that's it. This is a series of very important statements. Jesus, at the beginning of this section, talks about some people being better off dead. Oh, Pastor, don't say that. That's a terrible thing to say. You don't want to plant seeds. I'm just referring to what Jesus said. What does Jesus say? There are worse things than being sick. There are worse things than being in a car wreck. There are worse things. But you know, there's something that is so horrible that it'd be better off for that person to be drowned. What could we be talking about? Leading children into sin. The various buildings around here have scriptures that go with the building. The building where we greet the public, the Welcome Center, has a scripture there. It's the parallel passage to this from Matthew's Gospel. If you are leading children into sin, Jesus said you would be better off with a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea and drowned. That sounds bad. It is bad, but it's not as bad as leading children into sin. People who do that are not just making a mistake. They're doing something that makes God furious. And we want everybody who visits the ranch to have the opportunity to be warned. So rather than putting the whole scripture there, we put the reference. But over more than 30 years now, I've had a lot of people ask me, what's that? It says, watch your step, Welcome Center. It has that scripture. What is that talking about? Oh, Jesus says that anyone who leads little children into sin would be better off dead. Oh. I just think people should know that because God cares about kids. A lot of times children feel unimportant, insignificant, powerless. But let me tell you something. God has his eye on children. And God sees when people lead children astray. And God warns. God warns that those who do that make him very angry. If you're a child, that should be comforting. But if you're alive, it should be a warning.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, and he's holding out his hand. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Wow. Now, I would recommend Ken Sandy's book, The Peacemakers, because it goes into more length about this, and there are many other principles involved. But there are times when you're in relationship with someone and you know what they're doing is wrong, and when that is the case, the loving thing to do is not to say, I didn't see anything. The loving thing to do, if your brother sins, is to rebuke them. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But if he repents, you say, well, I'm not sure you really mean it. Is that what Jesus says here? He says, no. If he repents, forgive him. Well, I'm not sure he really repented. Well, let's see what it looks like. This is according to Jesus. If he sins against you, not just sinning in general, if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, what are you going to want to say to him? I'm going to want to say, no, that's not repentance. You don't really mean it, or you wouldn't keep doing it over and over and over. Show me that you are sincere by not doing it again. You've already done this 5 times today. He's going to come back twice more. Jesus says, forgive him. Forgive him. Let me remind you of something you should know. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. You can forgive someone 7 times in a day, 20 times a day. Genuinely forgive them. That means you want good things for them. You aren't looking for a millstone you can tie around their neck. Okay? But you don't have to trust somebody who keeps doing the same thing over and over. You can pray for them to truly turn from their sin and not keep going back to it like a dog to its vomit. But meanwhile, you do not hold ill will toward them. You're not praying God will smite them. You're praying God will have mercy on them as he has on you. So Jesus says, if he repents, forgive him. And the apostles, hearing this, said, increase our faith, Lord. Increase our faith. That sounds like a good prayer. But Jesus says, hey, it's not the amount of faith you have. It's not the size of your faith. It's the object of your faith that matters. I believe I can fly. Is that going to do it? Am I going to be able to take off and overcome gravity? No. Because what am I believing? I'm believing in myself. I'm believing that if I really try hard and think positive, I can talk myself into success. It is hogwash to think you can talk yourself into success. That's not the way it works. Well, I do think thinking positive is important. Yeah, but it's not going to move a mulberry tree into the water. Well, what could? The Word of God. If you abide in His Word and His Word abides in you, you can ask whatever you will and it'll be granted. Why? Because you're not praying according to your own whims and desires. You're praying in accordance with His Word. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we have the petitions we desire of Him. The faith that He commends in this leper who got healed was not positive thinking. It was positive obedience. These folks were crying out, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. We've said it over and over, and I'll, as long as I'm able, keep saying it. God works his miracles in the context of obedience. He calls us to do something. Not because, you know, well, God can do a lot, but only so much he needs our partnership. He doesn't need a thing. God was absolutely, totally sufficient before he created the universe. God doesn't need any help. God doesn't need any input from us, any counsel from the Most High. But God has chosen to work in concert with people. That's why prayer matters. I'm praying to a sovereign God. God already knows the outcome. Why does it matter for me to pray? Because God said to. And when we pray, we get to see the amazing things that God does in answer to our prayers. God's going to do what God's going to do. But wouldn't you like to be a part of it? He graciously invites us not just to see what he's done, but he graciously invites us to be a part of it. Amazing. So, they said, increase our faith. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that's tiny. You can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted. To this mulberry tree, there was one close by. Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. But then Jesus says something else. This is a little vignette that ought to bother most of us, if we're honest. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to that servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Is that what he'd say? Well, actually, no, that's not what he'd say. When you come in from working outdoors, the slave is now responsible to clean up and fix the meal that he will then serve to his master. And Jesus says, after you do that, then you can say, all right, I'm a good servant. He says, no. No. Even after you've done everything that's commanded, you should recognize your unworthiness. Because all we did was what was commanded. If you're thinking that somehow God exists for the purpose of making you feel better about yourself, you got the wrong God. But if we understand our unworthiness, that's not where the story ends. If we understand our unworthiness, then we are utterly blown away by the fact that the creator of the universe, against whom we have rebelled and repeatedly offended, chose to love us and pay the price of our salvation. And so right now, there's a lot of preaching and a lot of Christian music that are designed to make you feel good about yourself. You know what? You don't realize how wonderful you are. You are so wonderful that God felt that it was worth the blood of his son. Isn't that great? It wasn't because we were worth it. It's because God is so amazingly loving. It's his unmerited favor. He chose to love undeserving sinners like me. My goal is not for you to feel badly about yourself. My goal is for you to know the truth about yourself. You are a sinner who deserves hell, and God loves you and sent his son to save you. And you should be utterly amazed. Now, you're not just a sinner who deserves hell. When you trust Jesus, you become a new creature in Christ. And in Christ, you're not just forgiven, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you're not just the temple in which he dwells, you are being transformed from the inside out, and one day you're going to be like him. How do I know that? Because I think positive. No, I believe God's word. He promises to do that. Those who are in Christ Jesus have passed from death to life. But it's not because God looked down and said, well, let's see. They all have flaws, but let me try and find the ones who have the fewest flaws. It's not what he did. Read 1 Corinthians. It says, God deliberately chose the nobodies. God deliberately chose the ones that the world would not have chosen. The ones who think, you know, pick me, look, I'm great. You want me. Those folks, they don't get picked. Most people spend most of their lives trying to justify themselves and make them, you know, I'm not perfect, but you know, I'm not like these people. You will not be justified in God's sight by keeping the law. Because none of us keep it. Look at what he says. When you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. How many of you feel that so far you've done everything you were told to do by God in his word? Okay? I better not see any hands go up. Okay? None of us have even done that. Jesus said to his followers, you know, I have much more to tell you, but right now you couldn't bear it. The glory that we will have with him in heaven goes beyond what we can even comprehend. God is more wonderful than we can imagine. And we're going to be like him. So if you, by God's grace, mature into a wonderful human being who is a genuine follower of Christ, if you have your theology straight and it's biblical, you will still not be saying, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Devotions every day, lots of intercessory prayer, and I've come a long way. I'm really, you know, trust God is impressed. That's not what's going to be going on. If you are maturing in Christ, what you're going to be more and more and more and more focused on is how amazing is the grace of God. How wonderful is our Savior. What an amazing thing that he would save any of us. You are loved by God, not because you're cute, not because you're smart, not because you're better behaved than some of the others. You are loved by God because his love is amazing. And he loves you. And I really want you to know that.
I thought you wanted me to feel that I'm unworthy.
I do. But I don't ever want you to feel that you're unloved. I don't ever want you to feel that you're hopeless. I want you to understand that your only hope is Jesus. You're not going to be able to fix yourself so that you deserve God's love. But if you realize that undeserving as we are, he chose to love us, then you can join me in being amazed by his grace. Only one out of the lepers came back. 9 out of 10 didn't even come back to thank Jesus. Are you thankful for what God has done? The main point today is this. Jesus calls his followers to a life of holiness, obedient faith, and thankfulness. How can we not be thankful?
Well, I have problems.
If you know Jesus, all those problems are going to go away one day. Maybe before you die, your problem will clear up. But if you don't know Jesus, the problems you're having now are nothing compared to what you're going to face for eternity. And Jesus came and offers you deliverance from that, the eternal fires of hell. I repeat what I quoted earlier from John 3:17. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. God has always been about the salvation of the lost, and he is still saving people today. Those of us who have been saved need to live a life of holiness. That means we belong to him. We don't try and fit in with the world and its system, because its system is death. A life of holiness. Obedient faith. That means doing what he says because you trust him. And thankfulness. All of us have so much to be thankful for.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.